Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'm going to begin telling this morning with telling you a little story that somehow or other I hope I can weave in. But it really is important to understand how a person's mind progresses and thinking changes as we grow older. Very, very young in life, I can't remember if it was called Armistice Day or if it was called Veterans Day when I was very young. I don't know when that change was made. But I remember reading a story, which, by the way, is still one of the most printed stories at this time of the year in outdoor magazines. And it was the Armistice Day Storm. It was written by Gordon McQuarrie. The reason why the story was reprinted so is that on that particular Armistice Day, a storm blew in the likes that we have not seen since, where temperatures dropped 20, 30, 40, and even 50 degrees within hours. It left duck hunters stranded all up and down the Mississippi River. And even in places as remote as Oconomowoc, we actually had a gentleman that died out duck hunting. It moved in so fast that they couldn't get off the water. They were locked in. I can't remember how many people died that day, but there were quite a few. So for a lot of years, Armistice Day was the day the duck hunters died. I was a kid. That's what it meant. That's what this story was all about. And although we know differently, and although there was acts of heroism that day that are still written about, where people literally just took their life in their own hands to save the lives of people that they didn't know, people that didn't hunt, couldn't understand why they were out there in the first place, but they were out there and needed help. So you saw these people reacting. You saw death, and yet you saw the type of heroism, the type of thing that makes us human. People were in need and people responded. But we know Armistice Day is not about the day the duck hunters died. Armistice Day was the day the war to end all wars ended. And that was 100 years ago today. Now, I'm going to repeat those words. The war to end all wars. How have we done? How have we done? So we remember today for what it is. It was a time in life of great tragedy, of world war, of great loss. And we remember not only those in World War I, but in World War II, in Korea, and Vietnam, and every skirmish that we've had since, because we can't get along with people. Because we can't talk to people. And yet, we need to remember the sacrifices that these people made. And we wonder why. Because you see, in war, someone wins, someone loses. The losers can hold on to that type of animosity and that type of hate for generation upon generation upon generation until they let it go. And the winners of wars don't come away unscathed. It costs. Not just monetarily, but in flesh and blood. Nobody wins. Nobody wins. And even the war to end all wars changed nothing. Because the wars continue. So how does it stop? What changes this thinking? What takes us out of that frame of mind that makes it a frontal, confrontational approach and one that truly changes the world? In today's reading, we have not one, but we have two widows. We have two widows, one prepared to die. The other, probably close to death. We don't know. One gave out of the little she had. The other gave all she had. You wonder why. How were they moved to do that? One prepared to die, one with nothing. And yet they were still moved to give. Was the voice and power of Elijah that overpowering that says, I'm going to give you the last little handful I have? Was it the fear of the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees that made this little lady give the last two coins that she had? Was it that? Or was it something working within them that we call faith? Faith in the ability to give. Give what we have. Share what we have, whether that be time, talents, or whatever. But in giving, we change things. The life was changed for the lady, for the widow that stood before Elijah. And the lives of the disciples were changed forever with the example of the widow at the temple. Last week we wondered, you know, Lazarus didn't have to die, but he was there so that God's glory may be revealed in him. And in today's story, it is no different. That God's glory is revealed in giving as the widows gave. This was a society that was supposed to take care of these folks. You weren't supposed to ask them for something. It was a society that was built around caring for them. And yet in both stories, we have widows that stepped up and said, okay. We don't know why, but they said, okay, I'll do that for you. And the story takes on a meaning that changed their lives, that changed Elijah, that impacted the disciples into a ministry that they could not foresee yet that would be all about giving of themselves. Giving of themselves in the name of Christ. And when we look at giving and what we had to give, each and every one of us has received the greatest gift ever known. And that is the gift of Christ. God's grace to you and I in and through Christ Jesus. And it's with these things that we make a difference. It's these things that change the human heart. You know, people wonder, there was a lot of great people that have lived in history, and yet we only talk about a very small few of them. And yet 2,000 years later, we're talking about the son of a carpenter. We're talking about the son of a carpenter. And we're doing so because he not only came to teach and preach, but he came to change the human heart, to change the human condition, to understand that there is more power in love, forgiveness, giving of oneself where and when needed, as often as needed. Sounds like a burden, but it's not. That these things change the world around us. They change the world around us, whether that be the neighbor next door or the neighbor on the other side of the world. It changes the world. So we look at a war to end all wars. We realize it didn't happen. And yet, through Christ, through God's gift in Christ, we have what can change the world. It's not bombs and it's not bullets. It's not arguments. It's not threats. It's peace. It's prayer. It's tolerance for people to be who they are, to worship the way they want without being persecuted for it. It's the ability to just give of ourselves if it's only our tolerance for others. To give of ourselves if it's only to help someone up to stand on their own two feet. To give of ourselves to one another in need, whether that may be a held hand or a hug. These are the things that change the world. These are the things that change not only our lives as it did the disciples, but the lives of everyone around us. Now, the trick of the day is to figure out how to ingrain that in the people that lead. How to get past this where world leaders have the lives of people in their very hands. And the only answer I have for you this morning is that everything around you started with one man. And that also can start with just you and I. Imagine peace on earth for just a moment. I can't. From little on like you, it seems as though there's been a conflict around every corner. And I want to make this very clear. I am a bit of a hawk when it comes to the defense of those that cannot defend themselves. I am a fierce defender of those who live under depression, oppression. I believe that we need to stand up and care for people and defend people that cannot defend for themselves. But where does it end? How does it end? There's much more to the story of these two widows than what meets the eye. But it's in the giving and forgiving and loving that we all truly change the world. Just as the men and women whose grave markers are scattered all over the world went forth to try to do that the way humanity wanted them to, the way we thought we had to, only to find out it still hasn't worked yet. But in the love of Christ, there is change. In that love, it changes this. And this right here is where it all starts. I give thanks today for all those who have served. I give thanks today for all those who have paid the ultimate price, their families, their friends, and their comrades. I am thankful for them. And it most certainly is not the day about ducks and duck hunters. It's about love of country and sacrifice. And we should remember that. Amen.